Our scripture today is 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible if you would like. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the choir, for the love that they have shown you and have shown us during this time. To remind us, Lord, that there is one table, but yet all are invited and there's plenty of room. We thank you, Lord, for that show of grace that you've just given to us. We thank you for this show of grace, that we are about to read your word together, a word that you have freely given to us, a word that you desire us to know so that we might know you all the more. We pray, Lord, that also for another show of grace. We pray for your mercy upon the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory, that through it somehow we may see you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Hear now God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I'm sure he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We'll come back to this dodgeball here in a second. So this scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, I've preached on a lot, I must say. It's a good one that I value a lot. So many of you know at this point that I am a lectionary preacher, meaning that I follow the lectionary, which is a schedule of scripture. Every Sunday, they have a daily lectionary every day, but every Sunday there's four scriptures that they choose for that day, and I tend to pick one, you know, that I feel God's calling us to preach on. And every 3 years, there's three different lectionaries, lectionary A, lectionary B, lectionary C. Every time this comes up, I pick it. I'm not sure why, just tend to do that. And every time I pick this, I preach the same sermon on it. This scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, to know what it's about, I think, is important. We know that Paul and Timothy have a very close relationship. The relationship that they share is more of a mentor-mentee relationship. Paul is mentoring Timothy to do preaching, to share the gospel, to go to the churches, to organize them, to help spread Jesus' message of love, faith, and hope. But Timothy's having some issues. One, he's a young man, and people are taking advantage of that youth of his, not listening to him because, you know, he's, what do the kids know these days? You know, that kind of thing. Kids can't tell me how to live. But Paul is encouraging Timothy. And so this first chapter is all about that. It's encouragement. They've been writing back and forth. Timothy's written Paul, telling him all the struggles that he's having, giving Paul his heart, saying, you know, these are my issues. I'm feeling burned out. I don't know what to do. I'm getting frustrated. They're arguing. I don't know how to help. Is God even using me? Why did God call me? We're all familiar with doubts in our life. We're all familiar with questioning God as to why something happened or why God has chosen us and not so-and-so because they're so much better. Or I'm not good at this, why pick me for that? And so on and so forth, the arguments go. It's no argument that's new. It's in the Bible constantly as God has called different people to do God's work. Moses, for example, said, Lord, not me. You know, I stutter too much and I can't speak well. Choose somebody else. And there's been arguments with God has chosen people and they've said no. Jonah, God chose Jonah to go to Nineveh, preach a message. Jonah said, and he runs the other way and God sends a fish to change his mind. All throughout God's history, people have said, why me? Not me. Pick somebody else. Even Jesus himself didn't want to follow through with what God had chosen for him. Lord, may this cup pass from me, but if it be your will, I'll do it. To question, it seems to be a fairly common thing. So Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him. And one of the encouragements that he gives Timothy is this scripture here. Verse 6 and 7, for this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift. Again, he's feeling burned out. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. He probably, Timothy, wrote to Paul and says, I can't do this. I, in some way, am afraid to carry on with the message. Paul writes, God didn't give us that spirit. That's not from God. The spirit that God gave us, rather, is one of power, love, and self-discipline. And I like the scripture because what it says, Paul is not saying to Timothy, you have to continue to work hard so that you may preach with power, live with love, and live with self-discipline. You have to earn those. You got to make sure you have them. You got to cultivate them in your life. Paul's not saying that. Paul's saying you have it. You already got it. God gave it to you. God gave you the spirit of power. It's in your possession. God gave you the spirit of love. It is within your heart. God gave you the spirit of self-discipline. It is in your life. Claim it. Live it. Because you got it. That was a bit of tough encouragement from Paul to Timothy. Paul is seriously hoping that Timothy leans upon God in all things and claims these things for himself. That a reminder that when he does feel afraid, that that's not from God, to cling on to these other things. Because God has equipped Timothy for the work that God has called Timothy to do. Now that's the sermon I would have preached to you today. if I would have preached the sermon that I always preach. But I'm not going to preach that sermon today. Today I'm going to preach a different sermon. Because there's more than just that piece of encouragement in there. There's another piece of encouragement in there. The other piece of encouragement in here is in this section of the testimony, our Lord, or don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or me as his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who, verse 9, this is where that other piece of encouragement is, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. How many of you went to school? Right, pretty much everyone's went to school. How many of you have been part of gym class? Gym class is either the most fun or the most demoralizing. It's one or the other, oftentimes based upon your own athletic abilities. For me, it was fairly demoralizing. You just look at me. I was gangly in high school. I had no coordination. Wasn't very athletic at all. But I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun in gym for the most part. One of the worst parts in any gym class is getting picked for a team. Right? So getting picked for a team is a very difficult time in a person's life when you don't have any athletic ability such as me. Usually what happens is that the gym teacher picks the two of the most athletic kids to be captains. Do you know why that is? So they're not on the same team. That's why it is. So they separate the two of the most athletic kids. They're on different teams, but they don't care. They're very competitive, and they want to stack the deck in their favor. So all the good kids go first. You know, the ones with the athletic abilities, the ones who have the coordination, the ones who can throw the ball the hardest, can dodge the ball the best, whatever, you know, the case is. And then when you get to, like, the last four, I mean, you know who you are at that point. Your job is simply to stay out of the way. That was my job. Stay out of the way. Don't cause any problems. If you happen to get to the ball, give it to someone who could actually throw it. That's the job of those who are picked last. It's a very difficult thing, being picked for a team. When we pick for a team, we do so based upon their abilities. Timothy, in his life, got picked to lead a church. He got picked to plant a church. He got picked to share the gospel with people twice his age. And he's telling Paul, I can't do this. I'm not qualified to do this. Why did God pick me? Obviously, I'm not good like you are, Paul. I can't handle this. Paul's word of encouragement was what we had just read. God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, but not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. When God calls, it's not because you're accomplished, Paul is saying. When God calls you to do something, it's not because you're talented in that particular area. When God calls you to do something, it's not because you're the best suited for that situation. When God calls you, it's because God wants you. Because God wants you to share God's love with that person, with that place, with that congregation, with that community, in that situation. Not because of what we've accomplished in our life, not because of what we've done, not because we're particularly qualified for any particular thing. Remember back in the first sermon you heard today, that God gives a spirit of power, of love, self-discipline. In other words, God equips those who are called. God does not call those who are equipped. And it's not mine. I heard that from somewhere else. God doesn't pick the best to be on the dodgeball team. God picks everyone to be on the dodgeball team, regardless of how good they're actually at dodging or throwing. And God values every person on that team. They're not to stay out of the way. They're not to stand in a corner afraid to mess up. Because God calls us, we have what we need in order to be successful. However that's defined, however that looks like, and it might look different than what we think it looks like. The truth is that we're on this team for a purpose, this church. The things that we say, the things that I've said, and not that long ago, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not able, I'm not good enough. It's not from God. God has given us love, has put a calling on each of our hearts to serve God in particular ways. And the thing is that because God has called you to do it, you can accomplish it. You can accomplish it in the way that God calls you to. This is a word of encouragement that I just saw in preparing for this sermon this past week. Paul saying to Timothy, who feels lost and afraid and not good enough for what he's doing, says, God didn't call you because of your works, but God called you because of God's purpose. Because God called you. You've got this. Whatever this is, you can do it. We thank God for the love that Paul has shown Timothy, for the love that Christ has shown all of us. We share with you this prayer today. Be people of joy. Let joy live in your heart and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in each other. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for our world. As you go out into the wonder of God's creation, share joy, peace, and hope with those you meet. Amen and amen.